Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this evening's message is a portion of the gospel reading. Then Jesus went and taught in one town and village after another on his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He told them, "Struggle to enter through the narrow door. I tell you, many will try to enter and not succeed." These are the words of our text. Have you ever noticed how sometimes the gospel reading doesn't sound like very good news? Gospel good news should be something uplifting, something positive. And how oftentimes aren't the words that our Lord speaks to us in the gospel words that cause us to pay attention? Perhaps even words that are condemning. We wonder sometimes, where's the good news in that? Sometimes looking at Bible texts for Sunday and Saturday services, and I'm sometimes scratching my head, now where's the good news in here? Where's something uplifting to share with the people of God? Or else we're all going to be going out like that little fellow in the Peanuts cartoon that has the cloud over him and it's raining on him. Someone comes to Jesus and asks, "Well, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" And our Lord never ever really gives a direct answer, does he? It would have been easy for our Lord to say no or yes. If he'd have said yes, only a few are going to be saved, I suppose that would present somewhat of a dilemma for us, wouldn't it? Only a few are going to be saved. Am I going to be one of them? Or aren't I? Which I suppose could lead us to thinking, well, God already chose some to be saved and others not to be saved, and no matter what you try to do, you can't get yourself out of that group. If you're chosen to be eternally condemned and damned, well, then it doesn't make any difference how good you are or how pleasing your actions are to God. You're never going to get out of that category. And likewise, if you're in the category that's going to be eternally blessed, well, you can be a dirty, low-down scoundrel, and it doesn't make any difference, does it? Unfortunately, that's how some Christians answer the question as to why some people believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, believe in life everlasting and all the things that we confessed in the creed, and why some people refuse to. I suppose if Jesus would have answered the question, "No, there'll be a lot of people saved," we'd find ourselves in the same boat, wouldn't we? The same predicament. Well, lots of people are going to be saved, so I don't have to worry about it. But notice how our Lord answers the individual. "So, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He told them, "Struggle to enter through the narrow door. I tell you, many will try to enter and not succeed." Now, if you were the person or persons in that group that asked Jesus the question, how would you be going away with that kind of an answer? We're sort of built in to give a direct answer. We're wired that way. I'm particularly wired that way, and I can't steer an answer the other way, especially if I'm trying to say hi to surprise from my wife or a child. Some of you would love to play poker with me because I have such a poker face. You'd know what's in my hand before I picked up the last card, probably. struggle to enter through the narrow door, what does that have to do with people being saved? Make every effort, because many will try to enter and will not succeed. What kind of an answer is that? What am I supposed to make of that? Precisely this. Don't worry about everybody else. As we sang in the hymn, nobody can save anyone else. Salvation and faith is a uniquely personal matter. That doesn't mean it's private. It means it's personal. I can only save myself by my faith. My faith really doesn't do any of you any good, sorry to say, at least when it comes to entering into heaven, because when that time comes, I'm going to be asked if I believed in Jesus as my Savior. And I say yes. And then you come along behind me and you're asked the same question. Well, Pastor believed and I was one of his members. St. Peter or whoever is at the gate is going to say, that's not going to cut it. Same with a husband and a wife or a parent and a child. My faith, my saving faith in Jesus that's been given to me as a gift by God, only applies to me. It's, in a sense, a non-transferable ticket to heaven. But my faith can have an effect on you, as can yours on someone else, in seeing how alive and how real that faith is, can lead someone to want to have that faith also, and to know about that Savior who we know and who gives us the courage and the strength and the comfort when everything else is falling around apart us, around us. So Jesus' words are really, worry about your own salvation. Don't worry about everybody else. Be concerned, first of all, for your own salvation. It says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. If we took a travel excursion, a big, large travel excursion, we'd go to the Holy Land and then we'd sort of come up through Greece and then we'd go through over to Italy and then we'd swing up through the Alps, through all the castles of Europe, and then come back. We'd find that some of those have really big doors. Wide doors, high doors, on those city gates that have these big walled cities. And for the most part, those gates are wide open. People can move freely in and out, except when there's a time of threat, when there's a time when the enemy is coming to destroy the city. Then the big gates are closed and barred. Inside one of those big gates, there's a little narrow door that you have to come through. You have to say the password or show the sign or whatever means to be able to get through that passageway. And you have to know what it is to be able to get through. When I was in college, there was an establishment in downtown Milwaukee called the Safe Place. I never had the opportunity to experience it firsthand, but the way I understood it was you sort of went through a maze of passageways and stairways and hallways up and down so that you didn't quite know which direction you were going in. And eventually you came to this narrow door. And it sort of harkens back to Prohibition times. And you'd knock at the door and somebody'd slide this little thing and you'd see two eyes poke out and say, what's the word? And you had to give the proper identification word for that particular night to be able to get admittance in. If you didn't, they'd say, too bad, you don't know the password. And then you'd have to find your way out of there. But if you got the word, and my understanding was the word was usually published in the Journal or the Sentinel for that particular day, you were admitted in. And then to get out was simply going through a door out onto the street. But you had to know how to get in. Jesus says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. The theme of tonight's message is the narrow escape. If you've ever flown or ridden on a bus, you pay attention to where the emergency exits are, don't you? Maybe sometimes on a plane you get seated next to one and the stewardess comes and asks, do you mind sitting here or would you rather be seated somewhere else? One time I got seated next to one of those emergency entrances. I said, well, I don't mind. And I'm praying, Lord, don't let anything happen so that I don't have to crack that thing open. But there's a little space there. And I'm looking up and down the plane. And sure, there's lots of other of these hatchways, escape hatches, escape doors. But there's an awful lot of people behind me. There's a lot of people in front of me. And we're all going to be trying to get out that little door. And on a school bus. I don't think I'd care to ride on a school bus at this size. Because they have those nice doors in the back, but some of them have those little windows. And I'm not quite so sure I would be able to get out the window. But they're small, and they're narrow. And there's sometimes 66 passengers on a school bus, I think. That's a lot of people to get through that little passageway. If you go on a subway in Chicago or New York, you have to go through the turnstile to get onto the train. And believe me, it's narrow. I've heard people complaining about the one over at Menards, but these are even narrower. You have to go through sideways to get through. And Jesus says, make every effort to get in through the narrow door. That sort of should begin to tell us something, shouldn't it, with those examples I've given. We can't save ourselves except for Jesus and what he's done for us. Only he can prepare us to enter through that narrow door, can't he? He is the one who gives us the word, the sign of admittance, isn't he? And he himself is the door, that narrow door, is he not? Isn't that what he says to us when he tells Thomas and the other disciples, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me. So when Jesus says in response to the question, Lord, are only a few going to be saved? And he says, struggle to enter through the narrow door. I tell you, many will try to enter and not succeed. He's telling us how important it is for us to see to our own salvation. If you fly in an airplane, too, they give you the little demonstration about the little air mask dropping down from the ceiling. And the stewardess always says, make sure you put your own air mask on first and then help the person next to you. I wouldn't be much help with you getting on your air mask if I didn't put on my own. And I'm conked out, and you're still struggling, would I? I certainly wouldn't be much help to you in our walk on this earth, journeying toward heaven, if I didn't see to my own faith first, would I? Nor would you toward your spouse or your children or your grandchildren. See to your own salvation first. Be sure for yourself that you will enter through that narrow door. Be sure you know who the narrow door is and what the word is for admittance. Then we can begin to become concerned about others. And our Lord doesn't tell us how many are going to be saved. That knowledge he reserves for himself, and for the Father and the Holy Spirit. For you and for I, he says, go and get the word out. Go and make disciples, teaching them, instructing them everything that I've told you about who the narrow door is and how you gain admittance through it. He then will take care of the rest. Oh, then there's one other thing. At the end he says, take note, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. Another way of saying that is, I think when we get to heaven, we'll be surprised at who we see is there and who we will see that is not there. Having a name that starts with A, I always had the first seat. I always knew the first day of school where to go. First desk in front of the teacher, or if the teacher sat you by the door first, that's where I sat. Always first, always first. Always first. Pastor, go ahead. Get in line. Go first. I say, no, I'm fine being in the back. It's only when you know what it's like to be in the front, being the first, that you're willing then to step back to let somebody else be first. It's only when we know and are certain of our salvation in Jesus Christ that we can step back and let somebody else come forward to come to that knowledge as well. May God grant to us the wisdom and the knowledge to heed his answer, to see to our own salvation by his grace in our lives as he works through us and in us through his word and through his Holy Spirit and through his Holy Supper and through our baptism, to be certain without a doubt that our salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. Nothing in our hands we bring, simply to his cross we cling. And to have the patience and the gentleness and the kindness to share that knowledge with others. May God grant that, not only for our soul's comfort, but for the comfort of many. Amen.